We talk about a lot about harmony in Pearl Culture. Actually, we yell at each other a lot about harmony in Pearl Culture, but it's very harmonious yelling. Remember that harmony tends to monopolize your mental space, but that's kind of an illusion. It's easy when you hear two people arguing in a public forum to think that the entire forum is bogus, but if you look carefully, there's usually still a background of non-fighting going on as well. Nor do people fight all the time. It just seems that way. We try to fit too many notes into the same mental space. But you don't actually have to harmonize every note everywhere all at once. We have different locations. Different chords can happen in different places. Different pieces have different standards for dissonance, and that's fine. You know, maybe a Pearl Friends mailing list would be like Mozart, and Compline Pearl Misc is like Schoenberg mixed with John Cage with Metallica thrown in for good measure. Pearl Five Quarters is slightly more civilized. It's a bit like late Mahler, where part of the time the music is atonal and tortured, and the rest of the time the music is tonal, but still tortured. Actually, I like Mahler an awful lot. He's my favorite composer. And this is no coincidence. Mahler once said he always tried to put the whole world into each of his symphonies. Note also that my favorite author is Tolkien, who also put an entire world into his work. So perhaps this kind of natural that I try to hook up the entire world to Pearl one way or another. Of course, you can't have the whole world in one spot without accepting a certain amount of dissonance. But there's another form of abstraction, which we call melody. In some ways, it's most mysterious because, in fact, it really is object-oriented in a deep way. A melody is a sequence of notes that we perceive to have been played or performed by a single object, which we often call a voice, even if it isn't one. Object permanence is something we learn at a young age. That's why we play peekaboo, to figure out that mommy didn't actually disappear when she went behind the towel. Similarly, you can take temporally separate notes and creatively imagine that they came from the same instrument. How many of you have ever played the computer game, The Seventh Gift? Some of you. Okay. You may recognize this melody, which is permanently burned into my personal EEPROM. Not that. I blew it. Okay. And then you solve that particular puzzle. I hope I didn't give anything away. That game intentionally makes it really hard to follow the melody since it treats the notes as discrete. But you know, some instruments make it really easy to follow a melody by making the transitions continuous. Life is always interesting, isn't it? Okay. I wonder how you play one of these things. Actually, you need a double inflection point, a double inflection here, or a double curve, and you find the inflection point in the middle. Maybe. Try for Mary Had a Little Lamb. Wow, learn something new every day. Now, I don't know who first came up with the idea of playing a saw. It's not what you call obvious. On the other hand, some things are so obvious that if one person didn't invent it, the next person would. For example, whistling. Another rather obvious invention, I think, is the bottle whistle. Perrier works really great for this. You know, as W.C. Fields once said, I'd rather have a bottle in front of me than a frontal lobotomy. Actually, a bottle in front of you doesn't have a lot to recommend it either. In particular, the melodies you can play with this module are rather monotonic, not to mention monotonous. Here's the William Tell overture on the bottle. Other wind instruments can at least vary the pitch parameter, but most wind instruments are by nature melodic in that they can only produce one single note at a time. There are exceptions, of course. Take the bagpipes, please. I don't think the bagpipes are an obvious interface either. I don't know whether playing your hands would be considered obvious or not. I don't know why, but you have to wet your whistle to do this. Doesn't make sense to me. I discovered that one by accident myself. One day I was leaning on a table with my hands folded, and I just happened to blow in my hands to maybe warm them or something. Can't do it anymore, can I? Well, this is actually the hard way, you see. With the fingers interlaced, yes. Now, this actually illustrates a very important musical technique, one that many of us have had to learn repeatedly. Oddly, this technique is called unlearning. It's like backtracking in real life. Sometimes you have to make negative progress in order to go forward in the long run. For instance, when I started taking private lessons on the violin, I had to unlearn a year's worth of bad habits I'd picked up in school. Now, in the case of playing my hands, I had to learn to hold my hands a different way if I wanted to have greater pitch range. So once I'd relearned how to play my hands, I could get almost an octave. That leaves out the Star Spangled Banner, but, you know, there's lots of melodies that'll fit into an octave. I almost have that octave. I'm going to tune it up here a little bit. Which is, of course, how much is that camel in the window? Of course, you can do much the same thing with an extension mechanism that's official, you know. They want to play the box. Easy does it, Larry. One and three. Thank you. This is my wife. Okay. Obviously, that's my main instrument. And certainly one of the most obvious wind instruments is your voice. At least we certainly produce a lot of wind with our voice. But I'm not going to sing anything operatic for you. Although I'm preaching to the choir, I'm not going to make you sing either. That should play something on my computer. We have ways to make you talk. Hey, percussion instrument. Yeah, I know. I'm a sound engineer in my church. I'm allowed to do that. Anyway, but you'll recall that melody is an abstraction of object permanence. As I mentioned earlier, Musicians call such an object a voice, whether it's really a human voice or any of the other instruments. But the really interesting thing to me is the relationship of melody to harmony, and it has to do with what we call voice leading. Here's a guitar. Yep, that's a guitar. I need to be pickier. I'm picky. You can play in guitar in many styles, but the most notable feature of the guitar is how much it's used for harmony rather than melody, regardless of the style. Don't want to pick yet. That's a little more Spanish. Here's something else. If you're a classical guitarist, you do a lot of melody too, but the very basis of harmony is all the little melodies going on in the middle of the chords. And you can actually hear the little waves in there if you listen. And here's a chord change. Let's get a little closer from back here. But you hear things like this happening in the middle, and things like that, little voices. And so the harmony is actually in a reductionist fashion, it's just a bunch of little harmonies, but holistically, melodies. But holistically, it you don't perceive it that way. It's perceived as a field. So you don't when you hear chords, you don't actually hear the individual notes. You somehow intuit the whole whatever it is. You ever notice that music is sometimes hard to talk about? I never have any trouble talking about Pearl. Anyway, the bottom note of a chord is kind of in a privileged position. It behaves more like a melody of its own, but it's a funny kind of melody in that it's perceived to drive the rhythm and the harmony. If you take the bottom four strings of a guitar and drop them an octave, you get one of these. Yeah. Got to get the slouch right here. Ready? Okay. Now, some of you will think that that's Mission Impossible, but that's actually a Man from U.N.C.L.E., which was my favorite show when I was young. Open Channel D. Here's Mission Impossible. Right, okay, well. Bass guitar is really fun. Even if you're not good at it. Sometimes I think I'm the bass guitarist of Pearl Culture. You know, I play this strange melody, and then a whole bunch of other people start playing these strange rhythms and harmonies around me. But now we're going to go back to hitting things again. This is what is known as a hammer dulcimer. It actually belongs to my wife, whom I like, because she lets me borrow her things. The one thing that about this is harder on other instruments, especially wind instruments, is actually multi-threaded. It's the beginnings of multi-threading. It has two separate threads of control. What shall I play? Okay. Nope. All night the day I left, the weather it was dry. It got so hot I froze to death. Susanna, don't you cry. Musicians delight in contradictions, but so do language designers. You have to be able to see both sides of every question when you design a language. It helps to have multiple personality disorder. It also helps to have a multi-threaded interface like a piano. Piano is just a fancier interface for a dulcimer, in a way. It still has hammers, a real piano does. They go out and strike the strings in, you know, another form of oppositional behavior. But it's a percussion instrument, in other words. But it happens to have a pitch parameter as well. It also has a more developed multi-threading model. It supports up to 10 threads in two groups of five. Advanced implementations can handle 20 threads, but that requires two CPUs. I'm afraid the piano module must still be considered experimental. Still, the interface is somewhat user-friendly. I don't actually have time to talk about counterpoint, except to say that this simple tune illustrates two contrapuntal principles we see in the Perl community, contrary motion and parallel motion. Contrary motion is when you have two programmers, or that is melodies, going in opposite directions. Parallel motion is when the programmers agree on how to get where they're going. Actually, I joked about it being experimental, but the piano interface is actually one of the most standard interfaces we have. Unfortunately, organs are not so standard. Once you get away from the keyboard itself, how you set one particular stop really depends on the kind of organ you have. In pipe organs, you might pull out one of the stop puller outers. On a Hammond organ, you might just adjust the drawbar. On this organ, I push D35. Gotta love Bach. Next time someone says Perl is Baroque, thank them for the compliment. It's easy to get a composer out of bed in the morning. All you have to do is go over to the piano, or the organ in this case, and play an unresolved chord. Then they have to get out of bed and resolve the chord. Hark, I can't stand it. Now, I promised I'd bring my violin, and as you can see, I didn't break my arm in Aikido, so I guess I'll have to play it some. The violin is one of those, you know, traditional, standard instruments. As I say, nobody ever got fired for buying a symphony orchestra. but if you do get fired, your orchestra can play for you, you know. Very sad. There's a lot of happy music, too. But, you know, violin is actually two different instruments. And I actually brought it here to illustrate polymorphism. People ask what's the difference between a violin and a fiddle. There's no difference, really. It only depends on which class you call the method from. Here's the fiddle interface. Just choke up on the bow a little bit here. How people who claim to be tone deaf can nonetheless recognize various styles of music when they hear them. You know, our pattern matching capabilities are usually much better than we admit. In fact, Pearl's design banks on that. That last little bit of music actually can stand on its own. It's usually known as shave and a haircut two bits. So music also has its one-liners. Here's another piece known as the Mousetrap Concerto.